Your sufficiency is upon Him, that you're praying that for all of us in this congregation, that our sufficiency would be of God. You're praying for men of God to be called and to go into the service of Christ, who rely upon Him, and their sufficiency is upon Him. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, the apostle draws our attention, verse 14, to being called into the ministry, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. And in the life of Paul, God made the difference. God made the difference.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. Been listening to When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak today. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted that you're here listening to our program. We have a great God, a God who is all sufficient, a God who meets every need. And we're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale to consider the message resting in our sufficient God.
I want to draw your attention this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and the verse number 5, and there the Word of God says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of as of ourselves, But our sufficiency is of God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. It was the reformer Martin Luther who said these words: "When God contemplates some great work, he begins it by the hand of some poor, weak human creature to whom he afterwards gives aid." And dear congregation, this morning, how true those words are. When God contemplates some great work, he begins it by the hand of some poor, weak human creature to whom he afterwards gives aid. And these words are true about every servant of God in history. They are but poor, weak human vessels in his mighty hand. And Luther spoke from his own experience. The same was true of the Apostle Paul. And you may say, the Apostle Paul. Paul, you say, why? Well, the greatest of all the apostles was a poor, weak human vessel. He was not some super being filled with great physical and spiritual stamina, but he was a mere man. He himself said, 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, that he was the chief of sinners. And he puts himself in that right category of sinful and wicked men. And he is only who he is: a sinner saved by grace, a servant of God because of the abundant grace of God. And believer, this morning, the same is true of you and I. In whatever work God has for us to do, in whatever type of service, in the home, in the workplace, in the church, we are merely poor, weak vessels. But as the apostle points out in our text, we have a sufficient God. And the Corinthian epistles address several problems that had manifested themselves in Corinth. And these problems caused difficulties and hindrances in the work of God in that city. In the latter part of chapter 2, in this second epistle, we see the apostle placing the emphasis upon his Christ-ordained ministry. Verse 14, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life." And then he asked this question: who is sufficient for these things? Who is sufficient for these things? In verse 17, he refers to those who corrupt the word of God. And he says, "We speak of sincerity, and as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." There are those that corrupt the word, but the apostle is clear that the message that he preaches, the gospel that he sounds forth, is the very message and truth of God. And he sets forth his ministry in these verses, a work that is serious within the church of Christ, a work that is a blessing and a privilege to the church. And when it comes to the ministry of the word of God, the apostle is sincere. Preaching has been given to the church by God, and we need that same sincerity when we preach the word or when we hear the word of God. Notice what he says: in the sight of God speak we in Christ. He's not merely preaching to the unconverted. He's not merely preaching to believers. He's not preaching specifically to those who come into the church, but he is preaching in the sight of God. And when God hears the words and God sees his servant, and whenever we hear the word, whenever we preach the word, whenever we read the word, God sees us. And that is a solemn thing. In every aspect of life, God sees us. But when we come to worship him and we come to his word, God sees us. And when a man stands before a congregation claiming to be the messenger of God with the word for the flock, there is a solemnity. There is a temporal, spiritual, and eternal seriousness placed upon that. And that has been lost in many pews and many churches over the years. And this loss has destroyed churches and their witness for Christ. And dear believer, if you ever have the opportunity not only to sit as we sit in the service, but to teach the word of God in this fashion, or to teach in a Sunday school class, or to bring God's word to others. Never lose the view of the primacy or the importance or the seriousness of what you are doing. Have that high view of preaching, because that is what Paul has here. In the sight of God, speak we in Christ. And if we lose that high view, it turns preaching and the preacher into nothing more than a performance and an actor upon a stage with no real purpose. When we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it brings us to the issue at hand. There are false teachers within this church that had come in. One of their tactics was to discredit the Apostle Paul, to say that he was not preaching the truth, that his gospel was not a true gospel. And friends, that is often what false teachers who are against Christ attempt to do. They discredit the messenger, and by discrediting the messenger, they discredit the message. And we are not to give opportunity to those who seek to discredit the glorious gospel. In verse 1, the apostle says, "Do we need to bring letters of commendation again to you?" And a common practice in those days, and in a sense that principle remains to this day, was that Paul and other ministers would have letters of commendation from the church that commissioned them to go forth with the gospel of Christ. And that gave the church being visited the assurance that Paul was who he claimed to be. In modern times, we maybe have looked at that slightly different or practiced that a little differently. In some churches, men need to be interviewed or spoken to by the leadership before they preach. In our denomination, if you were to go into our seminary, there would be interviews and an opportunity to preach. You would just not walk in and then walk into a pulpit, but there would be an interview regarding you and your salvation and your call. But if we were to ask one of our students or one of our ministers to come here and preach, we don't need them to bring a letter, because we know, because of the Presbyterian government that we have, that this is a man who agrees with our church, with what we stand for, with what we teach, a man who'll bring a good word and a faithful word as he comes to preach. And so there's no need for him to bring a letter of commendation. That is done by the presbytery, as it were. We know those men are in good standing, and therefore they will bring a faithful word. But in the days of Paul, letters were brought, and he's saying, do I need to do this? He says, verse 2, "You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." And so Paul is saying here, there's no need for this letter of commendation, because you yourselves are that letter of commendation. You've heard the teaching. You've believed the teaching. You know that it is true because of the first-hand experience of God's blessing. Verse 3 speaks about the Spirit of the living God manifesting this in the fleshy tables of the heart. Their faith was an epistle of commendation for Paul and the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And the question comes to you and I this morning. Is your heart that living epistle that testifies of the reading of Scripture, of the preaching of God's word? The hearing of Scripture is not merely to go into our ears, one ear and out of the other, as the saying goes. But Paul outlines an important truth here. The evidence of any man being sent from God as a preacher, and the evidence of Christians as well in the congregation, is seen by the blessing of God in their lives through the preaching of the word of God. And Paul comes to verse 5 in defending himself. And this is our text. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." And I want to take that thought. Paul was insufficient on his own to be a minister of the gospel of Christ. I want to open up that thought, and I want to open up widely, because I want to apply it to all of us. In everything that we do for the Lord, living for him, serving him, preaching for him, living godly within our families, whatever we find ourselves doing, we're to do it all for the glory of God. But we serve the Lord in these things, and we are insufficient. Insufficient. We're insufficient on our own to be servants and followers of Christ. When we think of what we once were, sinners and rebels to God, we were insufficient to save ourselves. We're insufficient to serve the Lord and to live for Him. And this is a wonderful verse that is truth to our souls. And believer, this morning, this should encourage you. If you're downcast this morning, if your heart is in a low place, and you're thinking, how can I serve the Lord? How can I live for Him? How can I speak highly of Him? I'm insufficient for these things. I can't string two words together. I don't know how to tell that friend at work of their need of salvation. How can I find the words for that and the confidence for that? I'm the only Christian within my family. It's hard standing for Christ. It's hard trying to be a witness. It's hard standing against all the influence of sinful actions because I'm the only Christian. Well, this verse, dear believer, should encourage your soul. Paul says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And that Greek word for sufficiency comes from a word that means ability. Our ability is from God alone. And the ability that we have to live for Him and to serve Him is of God. And dear believer, as you seek to live for God, your sufficiency is of God. It's not of yourself. It's not of yourself. And so this morning, I want us to consider resting upon our sufficient God. Resting upon our sufficient God. And firstly, we see that we must recognize the humbling reality of our insufficiency. The humbling reality of our insufficiency. How can we rest upon our sufficient God? Firstly, we need to know that we are absolutely insufficient. We can't do it ourselves. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves. And this thought that we are insufficient, it attacks our pride. And we do not like our pride being attacked. The book of Proverbs says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. And our pride tells us something that often we want to hear. Our pride tells us, we're sufficient to do this. We can do this ourselves. Look at you. Look at me. We have ability and we have strength and we can do this. And that's what Satan desires us to know. That when it comes to spiritual things and living for Christ, we're able to do that ourselves. He wants us to take the focus of God and of Christ and of the help that God gives us through His Spirit. Well, we don't need to pray. And we don't need to read the Word of God continually. And we don't need to come to church and hear the preaching of the Word. We're a good Christian. We know the truth. We don't need to hear it time and time again. We can spend our time doing other things because spiritually we've arrived. And that is the deception of Satan. He wants you and I to think that we are too good, that we are sufficient in ourselves to live for God. Not only sufficient in ourselves to have salvation of ourselves, but good enough that we do not need the means of grace regularly applied to our hearts. Good enough that we don't need to come and worship the Lord and hear His word. Satan says you don't need a Savior to redeem you from sin because you're good and holy and righteous. You don't need God's help to live a righteous life. You don't need the help of God to evangelize. Do it yourself. You're wise and you're knowledgeable and you're smart and you've ability. And you're wiser than God, he may say. Is that not what the devil said to Eve? For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Dear believer, let us through the power of the Spirit kill pride. Kill pride. This is what this thought is all about. Recognizing the humbling reality of our insufficiency. We're nothing. We're nothing. And what did the Savior say? For without me, ye can do nothing. For without me, ye can do nothing. And how true that is. How true that is. If it was not for Christ, I wouldn't be standing here. If it was not for his work of redemption, I certainly wouldn't be standing here or sitting there where you are. If it was not for his guidance and his call, and him encouraging through his word and challenging and leading and guiding, I would not be here. And we could probably say that about you as well. If it was not for the Lord and his working within your life, you would not be here this morning as we gather in worship. Without me, ye can do nothing. And we need, as the church of Christ, to remember that. To remember that. Often we hear people say harshly, you need to get it into your head. They may say it a lot harsher than that, but you need to get it into your head. And this morning, dear believer, we need to get into our heads that without Christ, we can do nothing. Without him, we are insufficient. Without him, this congregation and this church and this ministry and all we seek to do will fail. It is insufficient without the Savior. Paul was a wise man. He was learned. He was a man who had a great background, a great education. In Philippians chapter 3, we won't turn there for the sake of time, but in Philippians chapter 3, he goes through a list of the great blessings that he had, of who he was, and he says, these things were gained to me, but I counted loss for Christ. All things were dung, he says, but for Christ. He understood this, and he understood what he was trying to tell this Corinthian church. Without Christ, we're insufficient. We're insufficient ourselves. And he's speaking about living for Christ. He's speaking about the ministry of the gospel. He's speaking about serving the Lord. We are insufficient. Insufficient. Paul's ministry was being called into question. And he turns around there. He says in chapter 2, verse 16, who is sufficient for these things? He says, I'm not sufficient for these things. Who's sufficient to preach the wonder of Christ and the beauty of Christ and the cross of Christ? Who in this world is capable of being a faithful servant of Christ? Paul says, not me. And not you and not me. Who is sufficient of these things? And Paul gives that answer in the text. Those who know the sufficiency of God. The sufficiency of God. Paul was called by the Lord. Romans 10 reminds us of the need of gospel preachers and the source of gospel preachers. God calls them and makes men sufficient for these things because they are utterly incapable. One preacher and commentator said the only person who is competent is one whom God has made a minister. Self-made ministers are incompetent. Incompetent. In other words, relying on ourselves, making ourselves servants of God. There's incompetency. We need men of God. We need ministers. We need Christians who are sufficient and depending upon the power of God. Is that the desire of your heart, dear believer, to pray that God would make you a man or a woman who is depending upon him? Your sufficiency is upon him. That you're praying that for all of us in this congregation, that our sufficiency would be of God. You're praying for men of God to be called and to go into the service of Christ, who rely upon him, and their sufficiency is upon him. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, the apostle draws our attention, verse 14, to being called into the ministry, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. And in the life of Paul, God made the difference. God made the difference. For you.
Spurgeon devotional today is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. O death, why dost thou touch the tree beneath whose spreading branches weariness hath rest? Why dost thou snatch away the excellent of the earth, in whom is all our delight? If thou must use thine axe, use it upon the trees which yield no fruit. Thou mightest be thanked then, but why wilt thou fell the goodly cedars of Lebanon? O stay thy axe and spur the righteous. But no, it must not be. Death smites the goodliest of our friends, the most generous, the most prayerful, the most holy, the most devoted, must die. And why? It is through Jesus' prevailing prayer. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. It is that which bears them on eagle's wings to heaven. Every time a believer mounts from this earth to paradise, it is an answer to Christ's prayer. A good old divine remarks. Many times Jesus and his people pull against one another in prayer. You bend your knee in prayer and say, Father, I will that thy saints be with me where I am. Christ says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Thus the disciple is at cross purposes with his Lord. The soul cannot be in both places. The beloved one cannot be with Christ and with you too. Now, which pleader shall win the day? If you had your choice, if the king should step from his throne and say, Here are two supplicants praying in opposition to one another, which shall be answered? Oh, I am sure, though it were agony, you would start from your feet and say, Jesus, not my will but thine be done. You would give up your prayer for your loved one's life. If you could realize the thoughts that Christ is praying in the opposite direction, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Lord, thou shalt have them. By faith we let them go. This is Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for listening today, and we trust that this program has been a blessing to you and to your soul. Thinking upon that devotional of Spurgeon, where will you be? Where will you spend eternity? Will it be an eternity with a Christ who died for you? Or will it be an eternity lost in hell with Satan and his angels? Or that you would turn from sin, you would look to Christ and make sure of your salvation. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.